Welcome to Ruben Comics Podcast. I wanted to do something a little different for this episode. I'll be reviewing Thor, Love, and Thunder. Before I dive in, I wanted to say a few things. I've been with the MCU for a long time, back in 2008. I've been with Marvel even longer before the MCU was a thing. I remember watching Iron Man with my dad at the AMC Theater. It all led to Thanos, the greatest villain Marvel's ever had. I give Feige much respect for the Infinity Saga, assembling the Avengers and all the heroes, Guardians, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, for one last stand against Thanos. MCU launched the Thor franchise in 2011 along with Iron Man and Captain America. They really did Thor right. It's my favorite Thor flick. Worthy storyline, actors, cast and crew, hero and villain. Thor and Loki respectively. The Frost Giants were even a sub-villain. How cool is that, right? Hats off to Keaton Bradley. They even did it by film. Plenty of fire and adventure. You know, the Golden Age. Next up, the Dark World. Loki's a scene stealer. Malekith was decent. And Thor's suit looked awesome. Warrior S. Alan Taylor followed suit and added more romance undertones into the script. But still a classic Thor adventure. Patty Jenkins was meant to direct the film, but then she left due to creative differences. I can't wait to see the next Thor. But behind the scenes, Marvel is thinking of a different direction. Then Taika Waititi took the helm and directed Thor Ragnarok. I enjoyed it. I couldn't get him behind killing the Warriors 3. Those were Thor's friends. At least Hogan got a Warrior's death. It had a lot more humor than the first two. It was a different time. Ragnarok was a hit. It kind of gave Waititi the green light to keep going in this new direction. The Russo brothers brought Thor to a whole nother level in Infinity War and Endgame with a symphony-like script of action, high stakes, Empire Strikes Back tone, just to put it right in the ghost status for superhero movies. To me, they did the best. Thor's entrance in Wakanda pumped my adrenaline to 11. Bring me Thanos! Warrior and human. The perfect tactic. Thanos crushed him. He never backed down from a fight. That cliffhanger where he snapped his fingers, turning everybody into ash, still gives me chills till this day. It was a flawless victory. Boy, mind he came back in Secret Wars. Thor had one of the best arcs. The future was looking bright, then Love and Thunder happened. The title speaks for itself. He took the tone of Ragnarok and cranked it up to 11. I want to be fair and stay honest in my review, so I'm going to cover a few things I did like about the film. I liked the opening villain scene, gore, Marble Rock intro, and that Shadowland fight. Everything else is hit or miss, mostly miss, especially the ghosts. While the main storyline seemed goofy, you can see Gore played by Christian Bale, aka Batman, on a different playing field. More dark and serious, Gore kinda carried the movie, just a shame did a little up to the name. The God Butcher seemed more like a kidnapper. He only killed one god, not to mention I heard nothing but great things about him in the comics. The Necrosaur is a living symbiote created by Null, god of symbiotes, like Venom. It controls all the symbiotes whoever wields it. Each time he kills a god, he becomes far more powerful than before. And he created a god bomb. The movie is a little different. Marvel pulled a 2-hour Justice League mandate. I always felt like Dr. Strange 2 was too short, as much as I enjoyed it. Nightmare would have made it far more sweeter, you know what I mean. I wanted to see him kill some gods for Pete's sake. They showed slideshows of his kills, but it just wasn't enough. From what I saw from Moon Knight, gods are kind of selfish. Khonshu is a terrible guy. He'd be on Gore's hit list for sure. No lie, Zeus was acting kind of sus, but he didn't come out as a powerful god. Especially wearing that miniskirt and prancing around wasn't doing Gladiator any favors. They had the legendary Russell Crowe in their grasp. The same guy that played Jor-El in Man of Steel. A golden opportunity. and they put in a miniskirt, I get Disney's all about the whole family-friendly appeal. But this is Marvel we're talking about. It's okay to do with the original IP, just not Marvel. Makes me wish that Disney didn't buy them in 2009. We saw what happened with Star Wars. It wasn't always that way, until after the Infinity Saga. Great villain there somewhere, wish he had more screen time and butchery. Thor, the God of Thunder, how the mighty have fallen. You think after killing Thanos twice, watching all his friends die, and saving the universe, that he get an ultimate form like Moon King Thor from the comics. Get more powerful like Owen in case Kang and his cousin from the other side show up. Looking at you, Farmer Kang. This Kang grew up on a farm in the 31st century. Rides this high-tech tractor. He armed all his farm animals with weapons courtesy of the High Evolutionary. Just like Rocket Raccoon. He's going to be the villain of Guardians Volume 3. Some of them are from outer space. His biggest heavy hitters are Fang Fang Foom and Beta Ray Bill. Marvel, I'm just saying. It doesn't even write Avengers 5. I'm down. Make Thor great again. Nah, think of it, kid. Gore's kid. Now, I'm not denying the man's happiness by no means, but it's a missed opportunity all around. They could have developed the villain more, but again, I see that Taka solving them up too. Even Party Thor is not the Thor he is. Hulk's already a lappy thought that Thanos woke him. Ain't never got a comeback like Batman in The Dark Knight Rises. I wish Sif was in the movie more. I swap with Korra, honestly. I know Jane was Mighty Thor in the comics. It's one of the reasons why I stopped reading comics for years, until The Last Ronin brought me back. I like Jane. Her chemistry with Chris Hemsworth was one of the few bright spots. So apparently between the Dark World and Age of Ultron, Thor accidentally gave Jones, dang, now sound like Korra. Thor accidentally gave Jane the Nonia cheat code without even knowing he enchanted it like Owen did. Was she really worthy? Hard to say. Like Padme, she died at the end, but not from a broken heart. Damn. No one asked her to die. Post-credits scene later, Heimdall welcomes her to Valhalla with Odin, Loki, and everyone else Taka killed in Ragnarok. That was weird. Then there was another post-credits scene including Marvel's Hookery. Intriguing. But I could care less. Marvel made the post-credits scenes famous, and I wish they would focus on that excitement. I'm sure Marvel and Disney made about $700 million by now, regardless of bad product. Maybe some people liked it. Personally, I prefer Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Verse, Shang-Chi, Infinity War, and Endgame. Love and Thunder is a disappointment. VFX looks unpolished, unfinished. This is not the Thor I grew up with. It's not the Marvel I grew up with. Maybe it's one of those alternate universes that branched off after Sylvie killed He Who Remains. I wish that were the case. Infinity War Thor was peak Thor. I know this is all leading to Secret Wars. I find the lack of passion disturbing. At the end of the day, I'm all about quality over quantity. I still love Marvel. I'm looking forward to an anime project like X-Men 97. Maybe Marvel Zombies, even though I'm not that much of a horror fan. I like horror elements every now and then. MCU? Not so much. I'll be sharing 10 facts about Thor and the film in general. 1. Thor's hammer Njolnir once allowed him to time travel. Better keep that away from Kang. 2. He has a magic belt that doubles his strength. It was mentioned in Spider-Man Homecoming. 3. Tom Hiddleston wanted to play Thor. Maybe that will come around in Avengers Secret Wars. 4. There was a deleted scene with Zeus actually helping Thor out. That would have made the movie better. 5. Stan Lee wanted to play Odin.
6.
The role of Thor almost went to Chris' brother, Liam Hemsworth. Dodge the bullet there. 7. Loki once turned Thor into a frog as a prank. Draw. He made a cameo in the Loki series, also played by Chris Hemsworth. 8. Comic book fan favorite, Bay Area Bill is one of the few people worthy enough to lift Yonier. 9. Before playing Kingpin in Daredevil, Vincent D'Onofrio kind of played the Mighty Thor in Avengers and Babysitting. 10. Love and Thunder was shot with the volume from The Mandalorian. We know how that turned out. This is Ruben Comics Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Next episode will be announced in a few weeks. Signing off. Ruben.